So you've talked a lot about the direction for families and the entertainment. What do you guys see like as an example? Is it more based on shows? Is it more based on actual rides?
I think when you're talking about the families, it starts with guest service. As a consumer, a fan, and a father, I don't believe that Six Flags had the kind of guest service that's required at this level, given their leadership in the industry. So it starts with adding more labor, adding more training, and making guest service. That means responding to the needs of the guests. Cleanliness, security, safety, convenience, courtesy, first and foremost. It starts with the commitment to guest service. And then after guest service, to your point, it's just about diversifying the options. It can't just be about roller coasters. You can't do it. I love to ride them, and when I go to a theme park, honestly, that's what I look for first. But my kids don't. My kids look for Sylvester. My kids look for Bugs and Daffy. My kids look for parades. My kids look for fireworks. My kids look for kids' rides. My kids look for the experience. And Six Flags has to be known more for the experience than any specific ride.
From the sort of coaster enthusiast perspective, yeah, you've probably heard a lot of terminology like one train operations or those sort of things gone with the way of the old Six Flags.
Well, you know, you can't fix it all overnight.
Right.
But do we need more people just in the ride lines? Yes. Do we need more actual cars? Absolutely. Do we need to be more efficient as we operate these rides? No question about it. Do we need to improve on our downtime? Yes. And that is a commitment to maintenance and operations and capital, putting more of the cars in than we've ever had before. But Rome wasn't built in a day. And that's the way I look at these parks. They need a total makeover as far as I'm concerned. And so we're making a dent now, but to make a difference, it's gonna take a number of years.
Right.
If you're empty enough that you don't wanna open a ride, then don't open the park. That's gonna be my motto in 2007. We are gonna go into the budgeting process. Everything's open all year round, or it's not gonna be open at all. And even if that means Magic Mountain's gonna shut down for a month a year so we can do the proper maintenance, that's what we're gonna do. Because last time I checked, we're not offering discounts when we have 30% of the ride shut down.
Right. So why Red Zone? Why Dan Snyder? You know, what was it that was so attractive that made you guys step in and say, you know, this is something we want to do?
It's really more of a question for Dan. I mean, Dan's the one that really identified this as an opportunity, and I kind of came on board. For me personally, I grew up on Six Flags, so I know what it can be. I know what it should be, and I know what it takes so that it will be.
So you were with ESPN before, right?
Yep.
And so you were up at Bristol, Connecticut. Do you ever look at parks like, let's say, something like Lake Compounds, the way they do sort of like the smaller kind of run traditional park? Is there anything that you sort of look from those type of parks that you could apply to Six Flags?
The only thing I like about Lake Compounds is when you talk about diversifying options, I like the fact that the water park is part of the park.
Okay.
It's just another diversified option.
Value added?
You got it. And that's something I would look to do going forward.
Okay. Well, being that both Chris and I run theme park enthusiasts websites, how does Six Flags view their input?
Well, you keep us honest. You know, you keep us up to date and you keep us honest.
Right.
I think that's important as many, many publications serve as watchdogs and serve as a voice of public opinion. We know we're not going to be there overnight, but nobody can doubt, nobody can question that we're not making a difference.
Absolutely.
We're not changing things. Look at how clean this is. It wasn't like that last year.
I don't care
how many people are here.
So in our forum, on our message boards with our users, we've got something going on called the Six Flags Map Exchange, where people are collecting maps from the different parks and mailing them to their friends across the country.
Really?
Yeah. Tell us a little about how that came to be.
I grew up going to Six Flags, and I'd always bug my mom and dad to buy a map. When I go back 2 weeks later, by that time I had opened it and closed it so many times I'd ripped it. So when I came on board, I said, what are we doing to help people make their way around the park? Not just maps, how about signs? We don't have enough signage. We don't do enough branding. Help people spend their time and money with you. Help them. So we put up these directional signs. It's been about $10 million. putting up directional signs in every park. And this park actually had a pretty good complement of it. We just added more.
That's great.
Most parks had none.
Right.
And it also helps you brand your park and brand your rides. And on top of it, I said I wanted to get back to handing out those souvenir masks. And the marketing head said to me, oh yeah, we love those, it was very popular. We made a lot of money, we charged those for $4.95. I said, we're giving them out for free. And they said, oh, you mean a generic map? I said, no, the big, awesome souvenir maps. You drive in, you pay parking, the least we can do is help you find your way around the park. So we're gonna give those out for free. And now I take my son every park that I go to on a weekend, I take him with me, even if it means flying, and he's collecting them as well.
Theme Park Review would like to thank Mark Shapiro for taking the time out to have a walk around the park with us, and we look forward to the future of Six Flags.